talk? All right.
Oh, is this stuff kind of mic?
No, I don't need a mic.
Oh,
or
okay.
Today's lesson's on trust and love, or love and trust. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So this is a heart matter. Trust. And lean not on, oh, Joe, you just stole my whole message. You just stole my whole message. Where did you get that? Yeah, right. And lean not, you know, on any man. The mathematical center of the Bible, that is, if you were to divide the Bible literally in half, would come into Psalm 118. And it says this, put not your trust in princes, put your trust in the Lord, verse 8. Then it says, put not your trust in man, put your trust in the Lord. So you can tell whether you're putting your trust in a leader or in your husband or in any human being, you're commanded not to. So now I'm making a distinction based on God's word between love and trust. Love all, trust none. Only the Lord. So I love the Lord and I trust the Lord. I love other people, but I don't trust them. Now, normally Christians feel that they're supposed to trust other people. But Jesus trusted himself to no man, for he knew what was in man and needed none to bear witness of him, of them. So, if Jesus didn't trust anybody, then we would be evil to trust other people. I will call that an illusion. I will call that an illusion. I'm going to call it a principal illusion that people have. I'm going to call it the most important illusion that people have. I'm going to call it the only illusion that people have, is that I can trust in man. Now, you can love all men, but you cannot trust any man. So love and trust are not the same. Little children don't know the difference. So a little child, when you're small, will make this you. This will be you right here. This is you. When you're a little child, you're naive. And then as you grow through life, you get bumped. And so you have troubles as you grow through life. Life doesn't turn out the way naive people thought it was going to be. And so they get mature through bumps. They get bumped. Then you finally mature, and at the end, depending on how you took care of the middle, you're no longer a naive child, but you're happy again. So I'll make a smiley face, I'll make a frown face, and I'll make a smiley face. So you start out smiley face when you're young because you don't know any different, and you love and trust your parents. So I drew your parents up here. I drew your mate's parents up here. Now, if you love your parents, you do well. If because you don't trust them, now you don't love them, ooh, you've made a mistake. No, you don't have to trust them to love them. Isn't that interesting? Let's say they have a flaw. Let's say a parent is not perfect. Let's say a parent is not Jesus. Let's say only God is God. Then I can love a parent who is unreliable, that is, not perfect, that is, I don't need to live to please them because they're not perfect. So if I'm a people pleaser, I'm living in an illusion that people are wonderful and I should trust them. No, you can love them, but you have to forgive them in order to love them. That's a strong statement I just made. You have to forgive them in order to love them. Because you don't trust them, I must forgive them to love them. Forgive to love. So now my pal will make little flaws here on my parents. Here's my mother, here's my father. Make this one father, make this one mother, make this one mother, make this one father. Everybody's mother and father is flawed. God only makes one kind of mother, flawed. He only makes one kind of father, flawed. Or, it isn't the way he makes us. That's just what we choose to be because he gave us liberty and freedom. And every mother makes mistakes. And every father makes mistakes. So, what kind of husband, since most of you are women, what kind of husband will I find? A flawed husband. But, not a problem because I'm flawed too. So I'll put some red measles on you. So, flaws. Now, not a problem because the command is not to trust, but to love. And the only way I could love is to forgive. So I forgive the untrustworthiness and continue the love. That's how I make it from naive to young to mature. My heritage, what God wants me to inherit at the end of everything, is perfect peace, is fullness. In other words, at the end, I'm going to get everything God wants for me. Now, because of that, I'm happy. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You see that? Now, all the crosses that are here, I'll make a bunch of crosses here, these are all the troubles in your life, which always occur because you trusted, but didn't love. Now, when you trust somebody, they're going to hurt you. They're going to disappoint you. Because they're flawed. And you can't trust a flawed person because they're flawed. That would be irrational. That would be crazy. That would be foolish for you to trust somebody that was flawed. Shouldn't you trust somebody that keeps their promises? But where is such a person? There isn't any such person. Nobody keeps their promises. Let God be true, but every man a liar. That means all men are liars. So I'll write this here. All men are liars. Certainly my parents are. All men are liars. That means generic, all mankind are liars. However, but God is true. But God is true. So what I need to remember is that God does not have in his creation perfect creatures. What he has is imperfect creatures, but he's perfect. So they're a gift from God. So God gives me a gift. He gives me the gift of these parents. That's because he loves me. So I can trust him that they're a perfect gift to me. But they themselves are flawed. Why would God give you a gift that was flawed? Because he wants you to look not at the gift and idolize it, but he wants you to look at the giver and make a distinction between the giver and the gift. When I get a good gift at Christmas, if I look at the gift and forget the person that gave it, I made a mistake. The gift came from somebody that loved you. So the gift is not the important thing. That's just an expression of the giver. And the giver has more gifts to give. So I shouldn't make the gift the giver. The giver is greater than the gift. So if God gave you parents, it's God that's God, not them. They're a channel, he's the source. They're a channel, he's the source. They're a channel, he's the source. When I marry, I don't marry a perfect person. Beside the fact that I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect, and therefore, I marry somebody not perfect because I'm not perfect. Me not being perfect, I make foolish decisions, I marry an imperfect person. Thinking I'm marrying a perfect person, which shows the problem is not them, but me. That's true. They wouldn't. So God takes advantage of this. God takes advantage of this. But we're not talking now about how you start naive, but how you end up getting rid of your illusions so that you mature. We're not talking about how you start. Yes, everyone gets married young because you are naive. You have no idea what marriage is. All you have to go on is your own parents and some observations of other people. But for the most part, you don't have a lot going for you because you have a lot of chemistry inside of you that said, even though my own parents didn't have a good marriage, I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to find the right one. There's just something foolish in us that says that.
Yeah.
There's something ridiculous in us that says, though I saw my own parents and I knew they had some problems, I know I will do better. There's something funny about that idea. But Margaret, who's not married yet in our family, she says that all the time. Well, Dad and Mom, you know, you have a good marriage, a very good marriage, as a matter of fact. But I'm going to even do better, and I'm not going to marry anyone like you, Mom, and I'm not going to marry anyone like you, Dad. I'm not going to be like you, and I'm not going to marry anyone like you. And I laugh and say, you will exactly marry me. You will exactly marry me. And you will be just like your mom. Which is hard for her, because right now she's resisting, because she did meet a man that she likes, she loves, but she doesn't trust him. She found him to be untrustworthy. Not because she's still a friend to him, but he has flaws. He didn't quite love her the way she deserved to be loved and wanted to be loved, and as much as she loved him, he didn't love her back equally. And she found that out, and it hurt. So then you get frustrated because you try to shape him up, and then you realize, why should I shape him up? Even if I did, then he'd be a wimp. If I don't, he won't do anything. If I do, then I'll control him. Either case, I lose. So she just got rid of the whole relationship. Okay, I'll be a friend, and I won't ever any more hope in him. So I will not marry this man, even though she loves him. I will not marry him. She needs not to get this tape, but my point is, she's making a typical, normal, wonderful mistake. And she will end up marrying someone flawed. She's not naive, so she won't marry someone who doesn't have flaws, but she will find there's no one else out there but flawed people. So she may return to the original flawed person. But meanwhile, she's punished him good, because he doesn't know how to please this woman. See? And so he'll realize you can't please a woman. That's what he's learned. Because, you know, what did I do? Anyway. So, flawed people are what we marry because we're flawed. Flawed people for flawed people. But you don't want to trust them. A flawed person should not be trusted. Someone who sins, someone who does not love us back the way we thought we loved them. But remember, it's really our illusion, right? It's our illusion that destroys us. We are not destroyed by other people and their sins. We're destroyed by our own illusions and our sins. We are not destroyed by other people and their sins. And it is not wrong to love a sinful person. It is not wrong to love someone who's flawed. That's the only choice you have. And you're flawed, so you deserve each other. So it's not a problem. You deserve what you get. You are not a victim. They are not a culprit. You are not a victim. They are not a culprit. I want to think I'm a victim so that I can justify and keep my illusion. But it's my illusion that is the problem, not their wickedness. They are wicked, but so am I. They are deceptive, but so am I. They are angry, but so am I. They are stubborn, but so am I. Everything, match for match, a woman is the equal of a man, and a man is the equal of a woman. There is no difference. None. But we would like to think the man is the culprit and the woman is the victim. It's a good game. It's a good game. It's a great game to play. But it doesn't work even for the woman, because after she gets rid of the beast, the bad man, she still has to face herself. And husband number two won't be any better, and husband number three won't be any better, and pretty soon she just gives up because she realizes it may not be them. Which it never was. The fact that they're flawed means nothing. Here's the way you do it. You go through all the problems and troubles, you forgive, you laugh, you rejoice, you just move on with your life, just have one God, just have one God, just have one God, don't have two idols, don't have a husband as an idol, don't have parents as an idol. You'll have to get rid of, most people, they don't get married until their parents are no longer their idols. They usually get rid of their idols, so the parents are gone. But you will marry even though you didn't forgive them. You wanted still to trust them, it's just that they weren't. You saw through that they had a lot of good qualities, but they had some bad qualities. And by the way, if you get married before you realize that they're not God, you will try to marry a god and you will be in serious trouble. Because no one can be like your mother, or no one can be like your father if you think they're wonderful people and have no flaws. And you will not marry then, you'll be unable to be married. Because you cannot make your husband what you want him to be, or be yourself what you want to be. So it's better to have flawed parents than think your parents are not flawed. Many fathers, for example, want their daughters to think that they're wonderful and the little girl's a princess. And so they call their daughters my little princess. And the girls love it because the fathers are spoiling them, and no matter what mother says, don't worry about it, I'll pay for it, I'll take care of it. And girls love it. And girls learn to wrap their fathers around their fingers because they know how to manipulate them. And fathers love it because the wife is into the guy, but the daughter can't see through him because he's so nice to her. So the father can gain ascendancy over the mother, who's competitive, and the daughter is always yelling with her and fighting and so on and so forth. The mother is now the disciplinarian. She's the one that has to say the truth. But the father gets off scot-free because he looks like a wonderful guy. He only comes home once in a while, but he always spoils. And so many fathers take up that role. And they look like they're wonderful, and the mother looks like she's the cantankerous, bitchy woman. And the truth is, she cares and loves, and she's doing what he didn't do. And the father neither loved his wife enough, nor the daughter. But it doesn't appear that way to the daughter for a long time. But try to get married and marry a man like your father, and you will end up in a divorce. Those marriages cannot, never have, never will work. Because your father was a liar, and he was not a wonderful person. He was a weakling. He abdicated his responsibility and destroyed that little girl because he didn't take discipline over. Anyway, same with the mothers. The mother might try to be the good guy and the father the bad guy because he's a drunk or he's a wife beater, an abuser, workaholic, whatever he is. And so the mother is the dependable one. And I trust my mother, but I don't trust my father. Another mistake. Don't get married. You are not yet mature. So most people give up their illusions about their parents long before they give up their illusions about themselves and this other person that they're going to meet. He said he loved me. Mom, you can't believe it. He said he loved me. I'm going to marry him. it's great. And that foolishness is, there's nothing wrong with getting married to him because you can love him. There is something wrong if you think that you're loving someone you can trust. You're not loving anyone reliable. You are loving somebody who is not worthy of love. But God, who loves us perfectly, though we're not unworthy, he doesn't trust us. Remember, Jesus trusted himself to no man, for he knew it was in man and needed none to bear witness of it. Jesus didn't trust us, but he loved us. Jesus didn't trust us, but he loved us. Jesus didn't trust us, but he loved us. So you see, we are to learn from Jesus, don't trust people, but love them. Just because you don't trust somebody doesn't mean you can't love them. You must love them. Which means you'll have to have a lot of humor and a lot of forgiveness and a lot of self-examination. If you examine yourself, you will see, let's put here, I'm going to forgive and I'll thank him for all the good things and forgive him for all the bad things. So I'll thank and forgive, thank and forgive. And I'm going to love without trust. Love, I'm going to write this down, without trust. Love without trust. Can you love without trust? Absolutely. It's the only kind of love. But to do that, I'd have to confess first my own sins. The only person that can forgive and thank is the person that could love someone not trustworthy. Now, I'm making very strong statements that are seldom, if ever, made. But they're wholly based on the Bible. And on reason, and on experience. So this is the truth, is that you must always love people that you don't trust. The only exception is God. God is the only one you can trust and love. So with God, I'm not loving someone that I can't trust. He is the only one I learn through all these illusions that I go through, all these troubles I go through. I learn, the only person I really have in my life that I can trust is God. I can't even trust myself because I'll make a mistake again. How do you know that if you get burned by one man, you will repeat the mistake again? You'll either go back to that same man unchanged and make the same mistake again, or you'll go on to another man and make the same mistake again. So you didn't learn anything. You learned nothing. you kept your illusion and divorced the gift. Keep the gift and love him, just don't trust him. All God was after there was get rid of your illusion. He wasn't after get rid of the husband, get rid of the friend. Now, don't get rid of the friend. Just don't idolize them. Don't look to them. Don't hope in them. Don't think they'll shape or they'll clean up or they'll change. Love them as they are. Don't love people as they ought to be, could be, should be, might be. Love them as they are. Then I can't trust them. That's correct. So I have to forgive them, which is easy to do if I've just confessed my own sin. Because the sin isn't in them. They have sin in them, but the sin is not in them. The cause of my unhappiness is not them, it's me. I have an illusion. Get rid of the illusion, I'll be able to live with real people, and I can then not trust them, but love them.
How do you get rid of the illusion?
How do you get rid of the illusion? First of all, you have to see that what God is after is a relationship to you, not having your husband be your God. See, I think if I marry him, he'll make me happy. Not true, only God makes me happy. I think if I marry him, he'll be reliable. Not true, only God is reliable. I think if I marry him, I can trust him. At least here's one man I can trust. Not true. Only God is the one you can trust. So God is teaching us here, never rely on parents, never rely on friends, never rely on husbands or wives, never rely on children, never rely on pastors, never rely on anybody. Certainly don't rely on presidents and, you know, bankers and so on. Well, you know, he's my agent and I really trust him. Yes, you trust him to an extent, but please don't trust him completely. You might call and get an answering machine. Now, what good is your trust? Never trust anybody completely. You can trust people to an extent, but the illusion, that's not an illusion. To trust people to an extent is not an illusion. You know how far I'll trust them? As far as God tells me to trust them. Did you know that I actually know on the inside of myself that people aren't trusting me? I actually know that. Nobody actually ever married somebody they trusted. They just told themselves they did, but they didn't. They already knew before they got married that mother said, shouldn't you wait? They knew that. Their best friend said, I don't know, he has some problems. They knew that. You knew it. When you get married, you actually know. Somebody told you God was faithful to warn you. He's not cooked quite yet. He's not quite ready. Could we leave him in the oven a little longer till he's mature? And that usually means, you know, he would be 87 before he's going to be mature. So, of course, we don't wait. But by being foolish like that, we have to take the consequences of that, which is it isn't him that is flawed. We know he's flawed. You couldn't be with a person for very long and not know that if you knew anything about yourself. You would know, this person isn't flawed, but my love will fix him. No, it won't. Your love doesn't change anybody. See, love doesn't have anything to do with change. Trust us. The trust is, well, I'm not going to trust you now that you've had one affair. I won't trust that you won't have two. Of course you won't. But you never should have trusted him in the first place. You see, you married a man thinking he would be loyal to you. That was a big mistake. He's not loyal to you. He's just a man. I see, we don't like to lose those illusions. We like to keep those illusions. But you can keep the illusion and lose the husbands. But you should have kept the husband and lost the illusion. Now, what we need to learn is, I only have one I can depend upon. God's my husband. God won't even die on me. God won't ever slumber or sleep. God will never be gone from the house. You always can get God on the phone. You never get a secretary. God is the only one and will always be the only one and has always been the only one that you needed. The reason you want a husband is not because you need a husband. Want is not need. I want Peggy. I don't need Peggy. I want her because God says this is a gift. Okay, I want her. If he says it's a gift, I'm going to take that gift. And I want her because she came from Jesus. No, but I don't get her without flaws. I get her all flawed up. But it's perfect for me because I'm full of flaws. So our flaws match beautifully. We have beautiful matching flaws. Peggy is just as stubborn as I am. She's just as mean as I am. And so on and so forth. So the only difference is illusion. Peggy has a lot more illusions than I have. Because she didn't go through the bumps and find out there's no hope but God. I went through early on in my life, I wasn't raised nicely, so I went through early on that there's no one I can trust. No one. Not my teachers, no one. Now that doesn't mean I didn't trust people, but I trusted them only to an extent. my own mother. I didn't even have fathers. You know, there's no one to trust, and I didn't know God at the time. But as I went through life, I realized, okay, I'll trust myself. I'll harden myself to everybody, but I'll trust myself. Big mistake. So my problem in life was not trusting others, as Peggy's was, but trusting myself. But in the end, someone that trusts others is actually trusting themselves. So I got rid of that because I realized it didn't work. I couldn't trust myself. I made too many mistakes. It wasn't on other people. It wasn't on relying on other people. It was just myself. It was just myself. I just made bad decisions. It wasn't, I couldn't blame somebody else to say, the reason I made that mistake is because you said you'd do this and you let me down. That was not my problem. I never trusted people at all. My problem was I still trusted myself. I'm smart enough, I'm fast enough, I'm clever enough, I'm able to figure this out, work it through, I don't need God. Well, I was wrong. That illusion had to go, and that's called repentance. I repented of all my illusions. And I realized neither other people nor me is worthy to be God. You're not worthy either. You're not better than anyone else. You're not smarter than anyone else. You're not anything than anyone else. Pitifully, you are exactly like everyone else. This is really pitiful. Because I thought, for sure, I'm smarter than that person, or I'm better looking than that person, or I'm, I have something going for me. Not true. The more you get to know people, the more you realize you aren't what you think you are, and they aren't what you thought they were. People aren't as dumb as they appear. You can meet with dumb people and think, that person's really dumb, dumb as a stone. The truth is, you don't really know. And if you'd spend some time with them on a desert island, there was no one else to talk to, you'd find out they probably aren't as dumb as you thought. Well, often people will use dumbness as a weapon or a defense mechanism to protect themselves from getting raped again or hurt again or whatever. Now, never harden yourself, because the minute you harden yourself, you're dead. You don't get the inheritance then. Dead people don't inherit. I want to say that again. Dead people don't inherit. If you don't make it, if you die here because the troubles are too much and you just quit, give up, surrender, stop growing, and you can't adapt any further, then you don't get the inheritance. Why God made you a promise, I will give you. Now that promise is an inheritance. That means you're not going to die. If God makes a promise that I'm going to give you your inheritance, that means I'm going to get it. That means I won't die before I get it. You will actually get what has He promised you. Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, so on and so on. Well, now I know, as a naive person, I might believe I could get there. But as I go through life, I realize I can't get there without God. But then as I go through life with God, I can take all the troubles and forgive and thank and not have any illusions and just trust God and love people and praise the Lord and testify to the world. And I'm going to make it because of the joy that's set before me. I'll endure all the crosses. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, I'm not afraid of shame. I'm not afraid of trouble. I'm not afraid of chastening, because the Father who loves me chastens me because I was naive. Why is He chastening me? Because I was full of illusions. He isn't chastening me because bad people are out there. He's chastening me because I am the bad people. I am a culprit. I am not a victim. I want to think I'm a victim. That's an illusion. I'm always the culprit, not a culprit, the. In other words, my unhappiness is due to me. It's not due to my husband who's unreliable, or to my friends, or to anyone else, my parents who raised me wrong, or, you know, whatever, something I inherited or something. No, it's always me. That is maturity. When you realize that, that's when you become disillusioned, no more illusions.
How do you not harden your heart?
You harden your heart whenever someone hurts you so many times that you decide you don't want to get hurt anymore. But you see, there's a better way. Don't harden your heart. Get rid of the illusion. You see, if the illusion's in me, then I don't have to harden my heart. I'm hardening my heart against everybody else so they don't get to me. But I lose myself. What's it profit to gain the world and lose myself? I just lost myself. I don't have a self anymore. I'm hard, yes. No one can get to me and hurt me now because I'm bristly. You know, you just try to get close to me and you're not going to get in there. This is the way I was when I was married to Peggy. I wouldn't let Peggy get to me. There's no way she was going to. And she was always sneaking around my island looking for some place to put her little boat. And I was like, no, 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 not here. Well, can I go over here to this? No, 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 not there either. You know, where can I get in? You can't. Just keep going around.
Well, don't you think you know if you've hardened your heart or if you know?
Yeah, you know. Because you say things like this. that's never going to happen to me again.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No.
But then you get hurt.
Yeah, I get hurt constantly.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of it.
No. But it's good to get hurt. That means you're still alive.
Good.
If you get hurt, you're alive. Hurt people are not dead.
You still have illusions.
You also may have illusions.
I do, but I don't know how to get rid of them. I felt like I've done everything.
No. But I'm teaching you today
how
to do it.
Okay.
Love, don't trust. That's how to get rid of
them. So I confessed it, still trusting.
What you're learning right now, what God is teaching you, not what you're learning, but what God is teaching you and you're learning it because he's teaching it to you, is there's only one God. I trust him. And as you only trust him, everything else you get for free. Then you get a husband. You can have your husband. You can have everybody. You just can't have a trusting husband. Not one you trust. You have one you love. And then he'll feel love, because a husband knows if he's not trusted.
Yeah.
But what he's looking for is the love. He just wants to know, well, do you still like me? I know I did that, but do you still like me? See, he knows he's not trustworthy. And he doesn't really want to be. Actually, husbands hate it that their wives trust them. They don't want to be trusted.
Pressure.
Yeah, it puts great pressure on them, because they're under the law now. But we live by promises. So if everything from God is a promise instead of a law, then I don't need to worry about the law.
I had to ask you one more question while it's in my head. I don't trust God.
Okay.
I'm not trusting him.
Right.
Because I feel like I've been let down by him.
Right.
So what do I do about that? Just continually confess that? That's all
sure.
I know to do?
Yeah. Well, but you don't confess it by saying, I'm sorry, I don't trust you. What you say is, I know my spirit man trusts you, but my soul doesn't yet. Because I'm still full of illusions, and I still trust myself. I don't trust you, but I trust myself. I don't trust other people, but I do. You know, so I'm still crazy.
Yeah, I'm crazy.
Right. So God wants to remove that illusion because he loves you and doesn't want you to get hurt anymore. And the way you don't get hurt anymore is be like, this is your only hope right here. All your happiness, all your joy, all your peace, all your everything is right here. See, I want to get it down here.
Yes.
It isn't down here.
I think that's my struggle right now. It's like, God, you're not coming through for me. I'm not feeling it.
He won't come through. He's going to leave you in the fire until you learn this lesson. Rejoice. Rejoice every day in the fire until you realize that it's your illusions that I'm burning. I'm not burning your husband. I'm not burning your parents. I'm not burning the world. I'm leaving the devil right in place. I'm burning your illusions because I love you. And I want you to take your inheritance. Otherwise, you'll lose it. I want you to have this inheritance. Joy unspeakable. This person here is joyful because they're naive. This person is not joyful because they're not naive. This person is mature. They're joyful because now they don't have any illusions.
You know,
they
Jim,
one
do,
God.
I do go through the phases of distrusting when God is so good, and then I hit the deck again, and then I come back up and trust them again, and then I hit the deck again.
Okay.
It's like, that's the way it's been going.
Happy is the man.
His mind stayed on me. No?
Yeah. Who trusts in the Lord. Happy is the man. But whose mind, that's all true too.
Yeah.
Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. Happy is the man. So happiness does not come from money. Doesn't come from alcohol. Doesn't come from a good job and a good home. It doesn't come from sex. Happiness comes from trusting the Lord. Trust in the Lord. The happiness then, you see, what I want to do is give my love out. I have some love and I want to give it out. But I'm looking for someone to trust. Who can I trust my love with? I trust this person. Oh, he hurt me. Okay, I'm not going to trust him anymore. I'll give my love over here. I have a rabbit. I trust my rabbit. Then the rabbit dies on me. Oh, where am I going to put my love? See, I've got all this love inside of me, but I don't know where to put it. It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to rabbits. It doesn't belong to houses. It doesn't belong to anything. It belongs to God alone. That's my worship to God, is to give him all my love and trust. Then he gives me these things as gifts, and I can love them, but I can never trust them because they're not God. Now I'm happy because I put all my trust in the Lord. I put all my love to people, though. He didn't tell me not to love people. He said not to trust people. I want to say all. But it's most. But I want to say all to make my point strongly. Hardly anyone understands that. They make this mistake all the time because they're trying to trust people, and since they can't, then they don't have any love. They get hard. They dry up because they have no one to give their love to that they can trust. No, you don't love people that you can trust. You love people you cannot trust. This is what God teaches us. No other religion can teach this. No religion would ever teach that. They would say, only love someone you can trust. Look for someone you can trust.
So we're supposed to go through the emotions until the feeling really comes as reality? Can we just go through the emotions? Lord, I'm going to love you whether I feel it or not? Or
yeah. But that's just words at this point. It's just words. You just say the words.
Just say the words, yeah. That's
yeah, just say the words.
Right.
It'll eventually come. Right. Oh, is that what you said? Motions? Is that what you said? Emotions or motions?
She said just go through the motions.
Yeah, just go through the motions.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm trusting in the Lord. See, he made a promise. I'm going to put a Bible here. The Bible has promises and laws. Forget the laws because the laws are swallowed up in the promise. Don't do any laws because laws will put you in slavery. All laws enslave. So here is slavery. In other words, I'm going to try to please God or please other people. It won't happen. You can't please anybody.
Not even God.
Not even God. You can't please him. What could you do to please him? Through the law. Because his law say be perfect. No, I can't please him. I can't please other people. I can't even please myself. So who can I please? Nobody. But God is pleased with you because you accepted his promise. You weren't worthy of his love. He didn't trust you. But he loved you without being worthy of his. That was a new idea. Humanity never had that idea. That's why nobody knows this. But this is Christianity. This is what it's all about, is that I can love people that I don't trust.
But you know what, though, Jim? There's something inside of me that says, I know I'm going to get that promise.
Good.
I know it.
That is what will keep you.
I know it. But it's just like, I'm growing impatient and weary, I guess, and the pain and...
No. As long as you know it, it doesn't make any difference because he isn't relying on you anyway.
Yeah.
He doesn't trust you.
Yeah, that's good.
God doesn't trust you, but he loves you. See, all he wants is to give you this. So he's sending you through this to get rid of your illusions so that there's only one God. The only illusion in life is that there's two gods. No, there's only one. So, two, three, four, five, doesn't matter. More than one. There's only one God. That's it.
You know, that's why you have to have this teaching constantly, because I've got to hear it over and over and over again.
Right. Well, you're the only one, because the others have it already.
But isn't it true that until you don't care about the inheritance, you need to care about it?
Oh, yeah. If you didn't know there was an inheritance, you wouldn't
know. But
you
know, that inheritance...
Nobody would ever grow up if they didn't know there was an inheritance.
The inheritance is just no God, isn't it? The inheritance, I'm going to get something? What's the inheritance?
Well, that would be an illusion. What is there but God? If with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. If I get Christ Jesus, I get everything. If I get everything and I don't get Christ Jesus, I'm in an illusion. That was the Garden of Eden. I'll take the garden without God. Okay, then you get the snake. So.
And you do get something, because when you come through the end of it, there's a pot of gold there that you can't even imagine was going to be there.
Right. And Barbara, he also gives it to you daily. He doesn't just give you, let's say it's 100. He doesn't just save all 100 for the end. He starts doling it out. You get five here and five here and five here. You get some along the way. Otherwise, you'd never trust him. This is why he is trustworthy. He has proven himself to be trustworthy. You know, I relied on his promise. And, you know, it worked the other day. Then I relied on again. I tried to rely on my husband. It didn't work. Then I relied on God. It worked. Then I praised him. I didn't want to praise him, but I decided to do it anyway. I relied on him, and it worked. And I'm learning all during this that I'm already in heaven now. I'm not even... Here's the Alpha, but he's also the way, and he's also the Omega. And I get, yes, I get all of it here, because the one who gave, it's unlimited what I'm going to get, which is him. Peggy was asking what you get. You get nickels, or what do you get? You actually get, you get the husband you're looking for is God. The wife you're looking for is God. The children you're looking for is God. Everything I'm looking for is in God. I just don't know that. So I'm under an illusion. But this joy, that whatever it is on the other side, it's wonderful because my loving Father has prepared it for me. I'm not going to miss out on anything. Not only that, but every one of these troubles actually is for my good. Because my loving Father is chastening me so that I get the inheritance. Otherwise, I'd die here. I would see, some people don't want to ever give up their illusions, so they just stay naive. That's what you're saying, in a way, is I'm still hoping I could get life out of my husband whom I can't get it out of. Okay? Then you just won't grow up. But the
longer... But I want to get rid of it. I want it gone.
You want it gone. Well, God is teaching you now. It will be gone, and I can give it all back to you once you don't idolize it. I won't give it back to you as long as you idolize. But I can't give you... This, no one's going to get this unless there's no idols. No illusions,
but
no idols.
But I can't bring that idol down on my own.
You don't need to. That's his job. The same one that birthed you is the same one that'll grow you, is the same one that'll mature you and give you the inheritance. This is all a gift, a gift, a gift. Life is a gift. Sustaining is a gift. Death is a gift. Resurrection is a gift. It's all a gift. So everything you get is a gift. You earned nothing. All you're doing is getting rid of illusions. So, what's the basic illusion? What's the basic illusion? It's that I can trust somebody. That I can trust somebody other than God. Anybody other than God, including myself. That's an illusion. But I've learned now, put not your trust in princes. Put not your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. Now I can love anybody because all my trust is in the Lord. Let's say I love somebody and they don't deserve it. Nobody does. It doesn't hurt me. It's good for me to love. Where do I learn it? From God, who teaches me that when someone doesn't deserve it, you give it anyway. Well, but what if I don't trust them? Well, that's all right. You love people you don't trust. You never love people you trust. Listen carefully to what I just said. You never love people you trust. The only one you love that you trust is God. You never love people you trust because no person's worthy of trust. None. That's why God says don't trust. Don't trust men. Trust only God.
Is it also that you're thinking something other than God to make you happy?
Yes.
So you're not only trusting this person.
Right.
You think this person is one you're making happy.
Right.
And God isn't.
Right. See, God can give you a husband. But the reason you love that husband is not because he's trustworthy. The reason you love him is God gave me that gift. I'm not going to despise a gift that God gives me. If I take it, of course, that was foolish. But if God gave it, then it's not foolish. So the question is, did I take it or did God give it? And the answer is, well, I guess I took it. But the real answer is, no, God gave it.
One of the things that always pricked my heart that you said is, Lord, I want you plus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you and you alone.
Right, right, yeah. I don't know why he's jealous about that. You see, it's because he loves you. See, this is a total loving path to take here. Going through the fire like this is totally loving. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. No, you missed it then. So you should have loved it. Because everything I prepared for you here was to grow you up so you get all of this. You see? So you shouldn't have hated it. So go back now and regret nothing. Go back now and unregret. Just go up through a total unregretting. This goes along with what I did on ancestor worship and other things. But the point is, you need to get right with people, and the only thing you have to do is put them in the right place. They're not God. They're not devils. People are not devils. They're just not reliable. You never should have trusted them in the first place. I call them a devil because I trusted them and they failed. But they're not devils. If there was a devil, it was me. Because I did the trusting. And God told me, don't put any trust in them. Put the trust in me. But put the love in them. Yeah, but God, how can I love somebody that I can't trust? I did. I loved you. Oh. Okay. So I learned to love people that aren't trustworthy. And you know what? Now I can love anybody. That is freedom. This binds, this frees. So I live by promises. The only thing to understand my life is total promises. I'm always free because I'm always. I'm never depressed because I'm free. Why? I don't have any illusions. I don't want any illusions. I learned the one secret that I didn't know. I was under an illusion for years, like everybody else. But I learned it. Oh, I repent now of that. There's no one to trust but God. And that was the last thing I wanted in my life. As a pagan, I did not want God to be the one I trusted. Because I could see his people. They didn't look that happy. And I did not want that. I could see people were trusting in the Lord and he didn't come through, like you said or somebody said. I trusted the Lord the other day and it didn't happen. Yeah, but it's because your illusions are still there. It isn't that it didn't happen, it's that you had some illusions.
But see, that's what I feel like is not happening, Jim, is my illusions are not going away as much as I don't want them.
Right.
It's like they
talk your way out of it. You talk your way out of it. That's why I'm teaching words here. This is just words. This is not reality. Teaching is not reality. It's just words. But these words you can talk, and you can talk your way to maturity. You can talk your way out of illusion by saying... And it'll set you free. You may not believe it the first day, the second day, the third day, but you will believe it. Because after a while, you couldn't keep saying it. Because reality is very rough on us. Reality is real, real. Real, real. No, no, no. That is honest. My soul doesn't trust it, but my spirit does. So I say both in my prayers every day. Lord, you know I don't trust you yet in everything. Of course, that's just my flesh talking. I do trust you totally. And I know I shouldn't be trusting people. However, I still have some illusions. That's a confession. This then is my other confession. I have a negative confession and a positive confession. The negative always has to go with the positive. The faith teachers don't want to hear the negative, then the positive is worthless. If you only give the positive and you don't give the negative, then there's nothing to overcome. You must give both. And they do in reality. They just don't do it in their teaching. But they're wrong. That's where they're wrong. You have to have the negative, which is, Lord, you know I don't trust you at all. That's why they're liars. And they get caught by their own lies. Because you can't say, oh, I trust in the Lord. Well, you don't. Your spirit man does, but your soul man doesn't. That's why that teaching is not working, and it won't work, and it'll never work. It doesn't matter what you think or how it appears. It will fall apart totally 100%. Because that's not God. God doesn't want you to trust in some faith teaching or some formula you learned or anything else. He wants you to trust in Him. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in God's faithfulness. In other words, we have faith in God. So we live by the promises. We don't obligate God by our confession. God, I believe, so give me the Cadillac. You can't obligate God. You live by a promise. There's no obligating God. That'd be law. You can't do it legalistically. So the faith teaching is total legalism. It has no faith at all. None. You can't have faith in a command. See, so I believe, so now you have to give me healing. I believe, so now you have to give me salvation. I believe, so now you have to give me wealth. No, God doesn't give you anything as a wage. He gives you everything as a free gift. You just simply believe. If you believe, you don't do any effort or work. You don't get a wage for it. Like, I'm believing for God. Right now I'm believing. I've been believing for the last 3 months for this goiter to go away. You can believe all day long, but it's not a wage. You don't believe at all. You've never had any faith at all. You just have a bunch of words in your mouth. It's total presumption and illusion. Here's how you believe. God says to you, and you hear Him, I will remove this goiter tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Huh, that's something you could believe in. I will remove the goiter. You can't say, I'm believing God for the goiter to be gone because He heals all my diseases and so on. I'm believing God. You can believe God all along. That's not belief. Belief is when you hear God personally speaking to you and you know it. How do you know it? Well, you cannot explain how you know it, but I can tell you, when you know it, you know it. I know I heard God. And the whole world can be against it, but you are certain of it. I know God will never leave me or forsake me. And everybody says, yeah, but it looks like He has. Well, it may, but I won't be shaken. You see, when you believe a promise, no one can shake you from it. That's what faith is built on. Faith believes in promises, never lost. And I'm not interested in the faith teaching. I'm only interested in teaching you the truth here. Learn to love all men because you trust one God. Learn to love all men because you trust one God. Learn not to trust any man because the Lord, God, loves you.
Yeah, even though you can... But to me, trusting the Lord is having faith.
Okay. Yes, but I'll say it this way. I'm trusting a person, but I'm having faith in the person's words. So trust is first, faith is second. Trust is person. I trust the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. But I have faith in His promises, in His word. So I'm not having faith in Him. I'm having faith in what He said. So because I trust Him, I believe Him. Because I trust Him, I believe His words. So faith is a symptom of trust. Love produces the trust that produces the faith. So because God is love, here's God, love, because He is love, I trust Him, and that's why I believe in Him. 1, 2, 3. So His love, the reason we love because He first loved us, because I trusted Him that He was going to love me, like He said. So He said, I'll never leave you, forsake me, and all troubles and problems. Oh, God, you've left me. You've forsaken me. Where are you? Help, help, help. And He goes, no, Jim, I'm still there. Where? I don't see you. I can't find you. Well, it's because you're in your illusions right now. I'm there. Just trust me. See, well, I don't trust him. That's why I don't believe him. God, if I could see you, I'd believe it. No. Belief doesn't come from seeing. It's written in my word. Read my word. I know it says a bunch of words, but I just don't believe these words. That's because you don't trust me. I guess I don't. That's because you don't know I love you. If you knew that God loved you unconditionally, you would trust him and you would believe him and you would obey him. This is the problem today in the church. Is people are trusting people, they're trusting themselves, and they're not trusting the Lord.
Okay, Jim, I want to tell you that I did, and I know in my heart God gave me a word. But Satan's going to come against that word, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You want him to. You want every word to be tested. Because this is how you grow up. The testing, you can't be loved without the testing. The Father chastens the one that he loves. You can't be mature. You can be a Christian without it, but you just can't be mature. But how will you ever arrive at the goal of your inheritance? You can't get an inheritance unless you're alive. So the fact that most people quit, when they get into trouble, one trouble, and then two troubles, and then three troubles, pretty soon they quit. They just go, I've had enough, it's up to here, I'm not going to take it any longer. Okay, then you're going to miss your inheritance. Then you did not believe, and you did not know his love, and you did not trust him, and you never did.
I'm tempted to do that all the time, but something keeps me going. And it's the promise.
It's the love of God. You see, you build your life on promises, never on law.
But I've got a real problem, and I'm a household. And I would like to give
a
dictator of prayer to God that will take care of that, that will break it off.
Right.
Break it off.
Amen.
See, I tell
right.
You, these three men here, they're all lovable.
Right.
So much that I give up.
Yes. And they love you.
And I think that they love me.
But they're not trustworthy. Right. Well, you don't really know that. All you know is at least they're not trusting him right now. That's all you know. You don't know whether they love him or not. You just know they don't trust him.
Well, they don't want me to talk to him about
it. Right. But that's just because they're hurt. But that's all right, because they saw something that they haven't forgiven yet or forgotten yet or whatever. It's not you, but something. And they've been hurt. So since they're hurt, they blame God. God must have done that. He doesn't love me. Yeah, right. And then it's accurate. So we don't get mad at him for doing that. We just don't trust him. You don't know what you're talking about. What you need is Jesus. So as a good grandmother and a good mother, you just keep telling them, no, the Lord loves you so much. You are the apple of his eye. You just say it all the time. You don't listen to them. They don't know anything. You don't listen to them at all. You just ignore everything they say and say, well, you know what, sweetheart? The Lord loves me and the Lord loves you. And you're the apple of his eye. And they can hate you all they want, but they heard those words, they went straight in. And that will help them to go through the problem there. And otherwise, they'll quit. They'll commit suicide. They'll just kill themselves. Because they give up after a while. Because life is too tough. Why? Because they have illusions. They're still naive. They still hope there's life in life, hope in life, joy in life, peace in life. They're still looking for something in this world other than in God. But that's an illusion. So your children and your grandchildren are under an illusion. That there's hope in grandmother, there's hope in life, there's hope in something, there's hope in getting married someday, there's hope in making money, there's hope in something. If I go off to Colorado, there's hope in something. Well, they're wrong. There isn't any hope in anything. So there's going to be one problem after another until you grow up. And the more problems, the more God loves you. If he didn't love you, just let you go to Colorado and have a good time. But he causes all these problems so that you will seek him. You see? And the very one you should seek is the very one you won't seek because you're mad at that one. But he's the only one that really can help you. So he needs your testimony, Joe. You have a wonderful opportunity, so you can rejoice all the time, as I know you're doing. You can rejoice in all these problems. In the world you have trouble, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You can rejoice because you have a personal relationship to the living God who loves you and you trust him and you believe him and you're obeying him and you're praising him in every fire and furnace and affliction and trouble and difficulty. Yeah, of course. So it'll all happen. Because your life is based upon this promise right here. That not only did I birth you, saved you, not only am I sustaining you now, I'm with you, I'll never leave you or forsake you, I'm with you in all these fires, but I will bring you into the promised land. I brought you out, I'll take you through, and I'll bring you to the promised land. Because of that, your confidence is strong. Oh yeah. I still love the Lord because I still trust Him, because I still believe His words, because I know all these things are momentary afflictions, and I've prayed for my grandchildren, I've prayed for my children, and I know they'll be of the Lord. I'm not giving up to the devil one second. And I rejoice that right now they don't look like it. I rejoice that I can't see it. I don't need to see it to believe it, because I don't love people that are worthy of love.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah, you can't remember it all. Yeah. So, actually, everything that's going on in your life right now is a gift of the Holy Father. It's a gift of your loving Father. It's a gift of someone who loves you totally. You just don't know it. Get over your illusions. Your illusions are wrong. You're looking at circumstances. You're not looking at God. Remember we said, put all your trust in the Lord. You could also say, think on these things. Things that are holy, that are just, that are pure, that are right, that are true, and so on. Okay, so that's what to do. Now I know what to do. Right? Good, good. Yeah. And just keep doing it. You won't fail. You will never be disappointed. But the extent to which you trust is the extent to which you believe that what God said, this promise, is reliable. Because I trust Him, I believe. I believe His promise because I trust Him. And the more I believe, I see. The more I believe, I see. Not just I believe for the future. If I have a future but I have no present, then I don't believe. To believe in something in the future and not to have anything in the present to justify that or to prove it would be impossible. You can only believe that God is good if He's good today and yesterday. He has to be good yesterday, today, and forever. He can't just be good in the future. Communism promised all kinds of things in the future, never delivered. It can't. No man can ever give you anything now. You can't get anything from man. I don't care what promise a man makes, it can't be kept. If the president promises to get rid of all Al-Qaeda, it'll never happen. If some banker promises you whatever, it won't happen. You cannot rely on anybody's promise. You must rely on God. So the question is not if my president made a promise, it's whether my God made a promise bigger than the president that just made a promise. I'm not trusting in the president, but I'm trusting in the God who put that president or allowed that president to be there. So I'm not worried. I don't need the president to keep his word. All I need is God to keep His word.
Wherever you don't have illusions or idols in your heart, it's easy to trust God, because so far as my children, Jim,
right,
ever since early on in my relationship with the Lord, I have total confidence and trust that my kids are coming in no matter what I see. Totally.
Good, good.
And it's probably because they're not idols in my life.
Right. So no illusions, no idols. No illusions, no idols. So we're getting rid of all of our illusions and our idols. I'm sure we could take anybody's life here, and it works out perfectly. You love all men, you trust none. You love all men, you trust none. You love all men, you trust none. Just say it. Say it to yourself.
I've always believed that God protects me.
Mm-hmm.
And I live by myself. I'm not afraid.
But how do you know that He protects you? Is that just something you believe, or is it something God promised? Where? Okay. It's important because the devil can attack you on that. That's why I'm raising it. Find out where He promised that.
Oh, I need to talk to you about it. Because I had a friend in front of Sterling Hawk 2 days ago. We were getting ready to get out of the car, and a man attacked her.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted her purse, and she held on to it so tight that her hand got destroyed in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking, well, how can I receive that protection from the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, get out here, devil, mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what would happen with me.
Right, right. Well, it's not important because you're not reliable. It's not important whether you keep it or let the purse go or whatever. It's not important. What's important is you better be living on the promises. You know, the promises are promises. So the question isn't how many bad guys are out there that I have to escape. The question is how many gods do I have out there that are reliable? And there's only one. So I want to get His promises. I want to get as many promises as I can. I want to build my life totally on promises with no commands. I don't want one law to be in my life. And the way I live with Peggy is I don't ask Peggy to be reliable. I don't ask her to be trustworthy. I ask her only, you know, is she a gift of God? And she can't answer, so God answers that one. Yes, this is a gift of God. Well, that settles that. So then I love her completely, totally, without condition, and I don't trust her. So she can't fail, because I didn't trust her. So let's say she fails. I didn't trust her anyway. No illusion. I don't love people that I can trust. I only love people I cannot trust. I know I can't trust Peggy. She might not love me as much as I love her. She might love me too much that I'm not worthy. Whatever. It doesn't make any difference. I don't trust her. I don't trust myself. I trust God. So would God make a mistake? Would he give me the wrong wife? No. Would he give me the perfect wife? Yes. Does she look perfect? No. Do I look perfect? No. That's out. See, that's an illusion. I don't have any idols. I don't have any illusions. I believe God loves me. It's over.
And he gave me my grandchildren.
Yes. And they're perfect grandchildren. And you cannot wish that they'd be different. Because now you're wanting them to be reliable and you know, that you could be resting. No, no. They're perfect. You don't have to see it to know it. No. These are perfect grandchildren. That's why you can speak to them when they come around. They say this and that and so on. And you can just say, you know, you are such a blessing to me. I just love you so much. Give me a hug here and, you know, whatever. And you're just loving them because love can cover everything. It can just conquer everything. But if you're trusting them, that's no good. Children don't want to be trusted. They're not giving you the message, grandmother, you can trust us. They're not giving you that message. You know why? Because they don't think they are trustworthy. Because they know they're full of anger. They know they're full of fear. They know they're full of wildness. They know that they have nothing trustworthy in them. And why should someone put an illusion on them that they should become more trustworthy? They're not going to be more trustworthy. What they need to learn is who loves them. It isn't grandmother. Grandmother's love is just a channel for God's source. The source is God. The channel is grandmother. You're one of those drain spouts. You're just the drain spout that brings it to them. And sometimes the drain spout gets a lot of leaves and debris and sticks in it, and the love doesn't even get through. In that moment, they need to have another drain spout than you. But thanks be unto God, he can always find another way to get his love through. Because the rain just falls everywhere. If it doesn't go down the drain spout, it'll get on the ground anyway. So he doesn't even need my love. I don't even need to be the channel. I don't need to be reliable. I can be all clogged up and all gummed up and still okay. Peggy cannot divorce me, and I cannot divorce her or leave her or forsake her just simply because she's clogged up or I'm clogged up. I don't love her because I trust her. And the only reason people would divorce is because they don't trust. But I don't trust, so I can't divorce. I'll never divorce because I don't trust. I don't have any illusion. I don't love her because she's worth love. I love her because God said, confess your own sins, forgive her, thank me for her, and love without trust. So I do. And it works. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. You know what? It keeps your love alive. But I'm not falling into an illusion. I'm not thinking, oh, now, today, I really love her. Yeah. Well, don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. You know. So now say that was honest. But now say the truth, which is, thank God I know I will live to see my grandchildren because God put a word in there about my grandchildren. I'm living that long. I will see them come to the Lord. Okay. Even if I didn't, I'm not afraid because I don't need to see it. But I believe I will because God made a promise in here. Because he loves you. You see how the more you know how much he loves you, the more you don't accept any negatives. I won't accept that these promises are bad. I will only accept that these promises are better than anything I could even imagine. I mean, what I'm thinking I'm going to get when I get to heaven is a harp and a cloud. I don't even know what I'm going to get. But what I'm going to get is bigger and greater than even I can imagine. It's not going to be less. If I ask him for a fish, will I get a stone? That would be less. If I ask him for an egg, will I get a scorpion? Here. Oh, a scorpion. Ouch! You know, so God won't give me less. So if I ask him for something good, it'll even be better. He'll either give me two fish or two eggs, but he's not going to give me less. I'm not going to get less. It's like, oh, two scorpions. No, and he won't get two scorpions. I asked him for an egg. He won't give me two scorpions.
As we get purified in that fire, the knowledge within us is going to, we're going to become more sure of his love for us.
Sure, absolutely. Because how could I make it? See, I didn't think I'd get it past this one.
Yeah.
How did I make it to this one?
Yeah.
And how did I get to this one? So after a while, I begin to mature. I begin to realize, you know what? The father that loves a child chastens him. So these chastenings actually are not negative that I want to go away. They're actually positive that I need to go through. I'm not going to stay in them because I've got a heritage coming up. And I don't care how many negatives are thrown on me now, they're all for my good. Every one of them is part of my inheritance already. But you see, my heritage is God. The God that's with me is the God I'm going to receive down here. The God that started me is the God that's with me is the God that's going to be at the end. All I need is God. I just didn't know that. I was looking to use God to get something else. But it's actually God, you see. So I don't want God to serve me. I want God. See, because we'll trade. Okay, God, let me use you here today to get some peace. I didn't have any. So could I get some peace? Thank you. Now I got peace without God. Thank God God gave it to me because I raped him. I used him. I paid him off. I tricked him into it. No. God is your peace. Oh. God is your salvation. He didn't give me salvation. He gave me himself. Jesus is my rock. Jesus is my salvation. Remember what he said? Come unto me. He didn't say, I'll lead you to God. Come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Are you God? Yes, he is. Because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So I don't need joy and peace and love. I need Jesus. If I have Jesus, I have joy. If I have Jesus, I have peace. If I have Jesus. The question is, does the God that gave you Jesus love you or love you not? He didn't deserve anything. You deserve hell. The wages of sin is death. You should have been dead. But he gave you Jesus instead. Now I can never die and I'm going to get my inheritance because I know Jesus is going to get his. And now he's in me and he loves me and I'm his wife. I'm definitely going to make it. I live by those promises. Those are not words to me. Those are realities to me. I'm not struggling to try to believe that. I believe it. It's solid for me. Why do I believe the love of God? I have no idea why I do, but I do. I can't explain to anybody here why I believe, but I know when he said it in his word, for some reason I totally believed it. But I didn't believe it, didn't believe it, didn't believe it, didn't believe it, and then one day I totally believed it. And I knew, I repented, I realized, you know what, I can't trust other people, I can't trust myself, the only one I can trust is God, and I fell in love with God. I realized, you know, there is a God, he's loving me. How? I don't know how. I don't know how that happened. I can't explain how that happened. All I can say is I know it happened. I know that I know that I know that he loves me. And once happened, fear was gone. Fear was gone. A joy came in. You know, I can't explain that. How can I explain it? I can't. But I knew that I knew that I knew. And I knew it came from this word right here. I knew I was believing this word. I wasn't believing Hinduism or, you know, a sunset or something. I was believing in these words that came out of this historical book. Came out of the Jews. It came into the Gentiles. I'm believing it. See, it didn't go to all men. It didn't go to all men. If it had gone to all men, I might have gotten it. But it only came through the Jews and Jesus. That's where I got it. I had to go to history to get it. I couldn't just find it by looking at a sun. Today, the world is going back to the sun. They're worshiping the sun again. Sun worship is all there is, by the way. But, you know, worshiping the sun and the penis and all this stuff, this is just the oldest religion in the world. This is not our religion. Our religion is not pleasure. Our religion is not me trying to get happiness. Our religion is, if I believe in the Lord, I am happy. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. I do. I believe him, therefore I trust him, therefore I know he loves me. That is powerful. How does that happen? I don't know, but it comes by preaching. Somehow, by preaching this word, it comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the living word of God. So, I'm only teaching you one thing today. Simple teaching. You love people you don't trust. Or I'll make it stronger. Never trust anyone. Or I'll make it even clearer. Put your trust in the Lord. Do not put your trust in man. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now, because this works so well with parents and with husbands and wives and children and anyone else, you can put anybody in this blank over here. But let's use a husband because it's real simple to see husbands. A husband is not a reliable person. I say it every week as a joke, but it's not a joke. I mean, I'm saying it in a way that's humorous because most people are still hoping their husband will be reliable. That's why they laugh. But they're not reliable, never have been reliable, and God hates it if you would want your husband to be reliable. You don't even want him to be reliable. Did you hear what I just said? I didn't just say, well, he isn't, I wish he was. No, you don't even want him to be. That's an illusion. You have God already. Why do you need a husband to be reliable when you already have God? And if God gave you that husband, you don't need him to be anything more than he is. Leave him alone. Stop fixing him. Stop wishing he were better. Stop loving him so he'll become better. Stop, well, I did this for you. Why don't you do something? He's not going to do it. You cannot control another human being. Control is out. See, I only need to control him if my whole happiness depends on him. But it doesn't. I don't stop my love just because he's not trustworthy. My love goes on. It gets stronger, as a matter of fact, because now I don't need to trust him. I'm not even looking for him. I don't even care what he's doing or not doing. I don't need him to be what I need him to be. I need him to be what he is. Let God work out whether this is a gift or not. I receive Peggy as a gift. This is a word I say to myself. I receive her as a gift. These are words I say to myself. She is a gift of God. Therefore, God being perfect, he wouldn't give me anything but a perfect gift. She doesn't look like a perfect gift, but she is a perfect gift, so I don't care what she looks like. That saves me, rescues me. That truth sets me free. Now I have no illusions. She's not an idol to me. I don't think Peggy's nice. And I see why I say that in church, and then I can hear the groans of people saying, oh, she's such a sweet lady. I don't know how he could say that. He's mean, but I don't think she is. You know, it's just like a joke. And she thinks it's a joke, too. She knows she's not nice. But she would love to believe that. I mean, if you want to feed her foolishness, she likes that because she doesn't trust fully in God's love yet. So she's going to fall for yours and rely on you. She might try to make David, my son, a better husband than me. She might rely on David. At least one of my children, you know, I can rely on, David. And he lives right next to us even, so, you know, she can rely on him. No, Peggy, I rebuke you. You don't want a better husband. You want me, a rotten, no good husband. Just keep me, and you don't want David to have to be married to her, and then you too. You see, you only have one wife, Mary. You stay with Mary. Don't Peggy go and try to win him away like, you know, if he and Mary have an argument, he might come call Mom, and she'll give him some peanut butter sandwiches, take care of him, and so on. Is no, don't help him. Don't help him. Let him come to me. You see, I'll beat him up some more. You know, this is not gonna find that. Because we love and we don't have to trust. See? And actually, David isn't controlled. He may look very docile. Everyone thinks David is a sweetheart, because he is. He's very sweet and gentle and so on. It's totally a phony. It's totally fake. It's not real. It's not real. And have you ever seen him? He's crying. He's weeping. He's so sincere. I'm nothing like that. You know, he is just wonderful. But that's not really real. That's not really real. Inside, he's a tough cookie, you see. And so Mary doesn't control it. It only looks like she does. But that's what he was confessing this Sunday, by the way. Was his resentment was that, you know, she did such and such and such, and therefore I had to please her and so on and so forth, and I didn't want to, so I paid her back. And that's really what he was saying. She never did control me, but she thought she did. And even I said she did, but I knew she didn't, and she didn't. You know. And so he realized, oh my gosh, I let that control me, and the Holy Spirit showed him that illusion, and he got rid of it, and he was free. You see? And then she was free, because she's no longer resented. She's no longer, you know, she now knows he loves me, because they've always loved each other. They love each other. It's just you can't make him reliable or her reliable. So you see? She wasn't his God anyway, and he wasn't her God anyway. Never was. By the way, we always know these people are just shabby gods that we're making. This is like sticks and stones. You're just making some person into a very shabby god, and you bow down and worship it. But you already know it's kind of like a joke inside of yourself. This person's not exactly right. I mean, anybody worshiping Buddha or a stick or something you make, you know you made it. This is where the Bible mocks it and says, here's a man, he takes a stick, he carves it into a figure, and then he bows down and worships it, and it's just a stick that he could burn in the fire. But that's how stupid we are. We're under such illusion, because we don't have a God, we fall into utter stupidity. Now, what I'm teaching you is a better way, is love people as they are, don't fix them. This is very hard for us, because something inside of us wants to have some local God. We don't want to have a God up in heaven who's invisible. We would like to have a local one we could choke if he doesn't do what we want. Or we could thank if he does, you know. But that is not God. See, that's not real. No human being can ever be God. I am not a reliable pastor. I will never be one, and I don't want to be one. I already have a God. I already have a God, and he's so wonderful to me that I don't need the church. I don't need Peggy. I don't need anybody. I don't need anything. See, we hate that because we can't control that person. We hate that. Then what can hurt you? Nothing. Can't hurt me because of Jesus. What could hurt Jesus? Nothing. Why? Because he knew his father loved him. Boy, if you know your father loves you, a little kid who knows his father and mother love him, no matter what the other kids say and do, he'll hold out. Little kids are strong like that. You tell him, honey, you are not going to fight when you go to school. That little kid won't, because he trusts his mother and father. You see what trust can do? it can make you very strong to stand against the whole school. Four eyes, stupid, they can do whatever they want, but if you know your parent loves you, you know, you don't like it, but you're going to just hold on. Because you know I'm pleasing my mother and father. They're happy with me. And that child will not fall. That child will be strong. Little children are great. You can't move them off. You can go to any little baby, and I can't go and win them away. No, you can. But what I'm saying is if they're crying and ornery, they want the mother. They don't even want the dad, usually. They certainly don't want some stranger coming and grabbing them. They know, you're an enemy. Get away. I hate you. I don't like you. And I never will. You know, and they're just like that. And I always try that out. Every time, you know, if a little child is misbehaving like that, I'll just go, do you want to go with me? No. You know, they know, don't, you know, you could come home to my house. You want to come home to my house? You know, and they're crying. I want my mommy. You know, and you cannot persuade them. It's amazing to me. Every child in the world is like that. So they believe they can trust their parents. That's naive. So they're going to have to overcome that illusion. But it doesn't take long. One and a half, they've already got it down. Two and a half, three, five, seven, nine, 10, 12. Pretty soon, by 12 years old, most kids already have gotten rid of a lot of their illusions about their parents. By the time of 16, they're already gone. 17, 18, they're gone. And now they don't want to be controlled. They don't want to please you any longer. They don't want you to make them behave. They want to make their own mistakes and be on their own. Even if they don't do right, they don't care. And they'll say things to you. They'll swear even. They'll do things that you didn't raise them to do, but they're trying to get free from you. You're not God.
Is that why they're so angry at that age and mean?
Well, it is if you're putting pressure on them. If you don't put pressure on them, they're not. I put pressure on my kids. I just told them the law, but I didn't believe in it. I just told them, well, you know, you kids could spend the night with me here. But it was a joke. I mean, they knew it was a joke. Margaret, where are you going? Don't you want to be here with me tonight? No, you don't. Okay, see you. You know. But you see, I plant a little seed in them. See if they'll operate by guilt or whether they'll go by their own juices. Well, they never went by guilt. They went by their own juices. But it was all right because they saw that Dad, the next time they came in, was totally happy. I mean, I'm not at all angry or mad or whatever. And so it's like, I can totally trust that Dad's there. And they can even hate me and they know they can get away with it. Why? Because there's no trust there. My kids do not trust me. They trust Peggy, but they don't trust me. But they love me. What would you rather have? I'll tell you what, I chose the better one. Because Peggy's in bondage to them, to keep them trusting her. And the other day, one of them called up, I think it was Kirsten, and said, Mom, all the other girls were complaining about their moms, but you and Dad were the best. And I told them that. And they all took hope. Well, by calling Mom, see, that sounds like a compliment. It is. It's a compliment. You know, that Kirsten gave hope to all those girls that, you know, their mothers, whatever. But her mother was perfect, good mother. And Kirsten was complimenting her. But it actually put Peggy in bondage. Because now she knows it's a lie, and she knows she can't live up to it, and she doesn't want to, and it's a pressure on her. Because she can't be honest now with her. She can't say what she really thinks anymore or feels, because she wants to maintain that image of the perfect mom for all those girls and for her own daughter. That is bondage. Better to be unreliable and put all your hope in the Lord. Now, presumably that'll go away and, you know, won't ever happen. By the way, it really disturbs Peggy a lot, because that is not the direction she wants to move in, is to have my children idolize me or exalt me. I'm glad we did some things, but wasn't that Jesus? That wasn't us. And so she wants to be more honest with them and more open and more adult with them, not less. You see? So they're not like 11 now. They're like 20, whatever they are, 27, 8, 30. I don't know what they are. Wherever they are, they're getting bigger. And, you know, they have their own kids. And Peggy doesn't want to be there. She wants to be a good, loving grandmother, but not a good, trustworthy person. She wants to be herself. So that they can be honest to her and she can be honest back to them and just be real and talk about Jesus is the only thing that's valuable. That's it. That's the only heritage we can give our children is Jesus. We can't give them money. Yes, you can give them money and stuff, but that's nothing. That'll only pollute them. That'll only hurt them. Money is treacherous. Money is treacherous. So it isn't good just to give people stuff, because then they have all kinds of new illusions about life. But anyway, you've got to be free. Somebody had their hand up. Yes, Barbara.
I was just going to say, sometimes in a crisis, all of that illusion stuff gets brought to the surface, and that's a good thing, because then you can tell the truth. Everybody can talk about it, and the kids are angry with us. They're angry at parents, but they don't know how to let you know it. They don't want to hurt your feelings.
Right.
But when a crisis comes, it just comes out. And I am so thankful for that, because it set my kids and me free from each other's illusions.
Right. Exactly. That's powerful. In the world we have, God, be of good cheer, I, not some philosophy, I, not some other God, I overcome the world. Only Jesus overcomes this world. In other words, the lesson in life is overcome the world. How do you overcome? Because only the overcomers are going to inherit. You cannot inherit if you're dead. You can only overcome. You have to be an overcomer. How do you overcome this world? Die to this world so that you can live to God. That's what all these troubles are for. These troubles are not to hurt you. They're the greatest blessing God ever gave you. Don't you think if there was a better blessing, he would have given it to you, since he loves you totally? Yes. But he gave you these, and you despised each one of them. Oh, Bethlehem is so small. Oh, this church is so small. Oh, this husband is so unreliable. Oh, this, this, this. You despised all those gifts that he gave you. And then when it's all over, how will you thank him? Because these gifts actually were all from him. Even the devil, Hitler, all this stuff is all a gift from God. It's all to take away your illusion. It's all to wake you up to realize you were a culprit. I loved you when I didn't trust you. So get rid of that one illusion. You get rid of all illusions. There's only one illusion, that I can trust somebody other than God. That's an illusion. I can love everybody. I can't trust anybody. That is life. And there is happiness. There is peace. There is joy. There is everything. Now in the world I can have trouble, and I'm of good cheer. And I give him praise for it. Why? Because I don't even know what I'm learning, but I'm learning something. I don't even know what it is. I just know it's the love of God at work. So you don't see me depressed. You don't see me discouraged. You don't see me fighting, struggling, fear operating me, anger, and so on. I'm not mad at anybody because no one can hurt me. I don't believe anyone out there is hurting me, like the Democrats or, you know, the bankers or the IRS or the UN or whatever. They can't hurt me. I don't have any fears at all about winning. I don't have to win. Why? Because I don't trust people. I don't care if they're bad. God knows about it. And God is over the whole table, and he's got it all rigged. Jim, move to the left. Oh, Jim, he's such a nut. But that's all right. I'll work it out. All right, resurrect you again. Get up. Thank you. And God's rigging it for me. I'm going to win. Because I'm building my life on the promises. You know, when I die over some situation, I remember a promise. All of a sudden, the promise coming to me. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, God is for me. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. And then as soon as, okay, up, attaboy, go for it, Jim. Good old boy. And God has got it all rigged so that I always win. I told that story about Peggy with the Easter eggs years ago. We had a church on the east side, and we had decided to have an Easter egg thing when we believed in Easter. So we had all these things hidden, but Peggy and I had hidden them because I was the pastor and she was my wife. So we hid them all. And we knew they all were. And little Carl was only 1.5 or 2 or whatever, just barely walking. And Peggy wanted her to get all the eggs. There's a lot of them. And so while the other children are out just hunting all over, Peggy is, you know, she's helping her. Peg, what are you doing? Don't help her. She needs to find some eggs. This is good for her. Yeah, but you're just one mother. You can't. Every mother wants their child to win. She needs to get some eggs. And she was cheating. She was rigging the situation so that her little kid won. Well, it's good that she loved her little child to do that. It's bad that she had to cheat every other little kid so that, you know, little Kara had all, and she was happy. Mom, look at these. You know, but Mom did. You see, Mom showed her in the book. I can remember right where they are, as a matter of fact, because I remember where we hit them all. Yeah. But you see, that's wrong, but also it's correct in that your father wants you to win. It's a good picture of the father's love. It's horrible because God would have enough eggs for everybody to win, you know. But Peggy was, you know, she didn't have all that reliance on God.
But it's pictures like that, though, that I have to look at in my own life, how I do my children.
Absolutely.
Me being evil, God, I give my children good gifts, how much greater. That's what I have to do.
See, that's a great scripture. You quoted the scripture there. Ye being evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit? He doesn't say good gift. He says the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he has all the gifts. If you get the Holy Spirit, you got everything. You just get the Spirit, you don't need anything more because you got everything. What is the Spirit? He's the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of the Father. So what did I get? Christ and the Father. Then I got everything. If with Christ Jesus he freely gives you all things. Well, I believe those kind of promises. This actually is my life. It really is. I never had any of these promises when I was growing up. Now I totally live by all those promises. There isn't anything else in my life. There's nothing in my life but promises. I don't have any laws. If somebody says, well, what about this law in the Bible? Oh, it's covered by a promise. You see, that's covered by a promise. Don't worry about all the laws. I'll keep all the laws. I'm sure when I get to heaven, I'll be perfect. I'm not worried about it. Are you looking like it? No, but I'm sure it'll work out. Because my Father has it rigged that what he wanted from me was not behavior under the law, but faith under the promise. See, how can you believe, you who are so unreliable? Well, because I'm not under the law, I'm under the promise. The reason I can love is because I'm not loving someone that did what I wanted, I'm loving someone that trusted in the Lord. Yes, Joyce.
As we get rid of the illusion and those things fall, the Holy Spirit can move as a garment.
Yes, down payment.
So it's such an encouragement
right.
to have those victories.
Yes. Get them every day. So she asked, and I'm going to say this for the tape, she asked, you know, if we get rid of these illusions, then, you know, what happens? Well, what happens is you're getting the Holy Spirit and a down payment daily, a sealing, so that you know, yep, see, yep, I got rid of the illusion, and right away, happiness and joy flooded into me. You get rid of one illusion, I'll tell you what, that is greater than if the Lord healed your leg. To get rid of an illusion, which is a burden on you, and you get rid of it, it's like, oh, I feel lighter. I'll tell you, that is worth more than 100 healings. In fact, it will heal you. Because you get all those weights off your back, and you'll be healed. People are under stress because they're under illusion. People are under stress, their physical health, because they're under illusions. Get rid of the illusions, you probably won't get sick. Or at least if you do, it's not a big deal, because you have this joy. I mean, you don't have any illusions about it. It's just like, I don't have to worry because my Father... All I need to do is live until I'm dead. That's basically it. And when I die, it's like, fine. I only had to learn a lesson, and I learned it. I learned that there's nothing but God. I don't also have a church, also have a wife, also have children, also have money, also have reputation. I only have God. So I repudiate wives. You see, it says, hate father and mother, or you're never going to mature. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, children. You must hate all those things and your own life for my sake in the Gospels. Those eight things, those are all personal relationships. Those are all family members. Husband, wife, father, mother. Those are family relationships, intimate. Brother, sister. And your own self. Hate all of that. Hate it. Why? Because they're idols. Well, they could be an idol. Don't let them be an idol. Okay? Love them, but don't let them pressure you, put you under any law. You see, what young people don't like is, no matter what I do, I just can't please my mother. She never seems to be quite pleased. Why? Well, because there's always some flaw. And moms are so used to it when they're little that they keep it up when they get bigger. It's like, you know, it's okay when they're little, but after they're 18, it's not okay. Don't point out to them what they're doing wrong. Let them do wrong. If they ask you, that's different. But if you go and tell them, you're now still being mom over them, and they resent that. Because they feel like, you know, she's never happy. She's always thinking about me and looking at me and trying to take care of me and so on. Where's my God? Where's my life? Children want to be on their own so that they're under God, make all their own mistakes. But that's how they'll find out there's a God. If you're their God, they'll never find out there's a God. You parents should not be gods. And grandparents have to be careful also. Grandparents are further away, so it's less likely, but grandparents have to be careful not to be the reliable one and replace the parent. I've seen many grandparents take over the parent's role because the parent was a loser. And it is, I'll raise the children for you. I'll do this, and I'll take care of that, and I'll pay for all this, and I'll, you know, don't. Let them fall. Let them fail. Because then they'll have to find God. Not always had a parent that will dish them out every time.